Welcome to the Misfits audio presentation of At Any Cost. This story may be rare in that it considers two little-known public domain stories and blends them together to create something altogether new. The story is told in the midst of interruptions from a modern-day brother and sister who are hearing the story for the first time from their grandfather.
Not quite tired enough for sleep. You tell us a story, Grandfather.
A story?
Goodness, your grandfather's a master storyteller.
I know, and I want a lovely story, like Cinderella or Snow White.
Those stories of girls. What a campfire story, Grandfather. The scarier the better, I say.
Dear me, tall order, asking for both a love story and a campfire tale.
Well, I think I'll head off to bed, Gregor. Too many stories give me indigestion.
Stanley, I know you will be leaving in the morning, but I am grateful you came by to visit Ivan and myself.
It was a pleasure, my old friend. Well, you must get back to your story, Gregor. Your audience seems restless.
Who doesn't like a bit of romance, Grandfather?
Me, that's who. Besides, I like to see you cringe when ghost stories are told.
Cringe? Me?
Now, let's be reasonable. I believe I have a tale that is both romantic and a bit disturbing in just the right places.
Not too disturbing.
And not too romantic.
Well, why don't we share the story? And you decide.
If I can't sleep well tonight, I'd blame you, Eric.
Me? Well, I never have that problem. You'll be weeping like a baby and I'll be sleeping like a bear in winter, that's what.
Now, settle down. Once upon a time.
All good stories begin that way.
There was a man who had been through a horrid ordeal. He moved to London because his work required it.
There's nothing wrong with London, Grandfather. We live here.
What a lovely coincidence, Eric. But this man had grown up in a small village where the air was clean. The cottages were lovely, and the young girls, especially pleasant.
Girls? Pleasant? The people of that village have never met Diana.
You see the way he picks, Grandfather? Insufferable.
Be that as it may, I will never get through the story with such constant interruptions.
Sorry, Grandfather.
Yeah, sorry. Please continue.
Now, where was I?
There was a man who came to London for work, and he had faced a crisis of some sort.
Ah, yes.
Is this the only room available, Mrs. Purdy?
True enough, Mr. Harrison. And you'd be lucky to get it, such as it is.
Yes, and it's not much.
A man can form his own opinion, but you'll not likely find another so well suited to your need. And on such agreeable terms.
Not likely, you say?
No, your worship. Why, just recently one of me rooms was let to a nice couple what worked on the stage in one of the theatres hereabouts.
Oh, that does speak highly of your establishment, Mrs. Purdy.
See, I knew you'd come around, Mr. Harrison. Begging your pardon, sir, but what brings you to London?
A carriage. Further questions are neither welcome nor anticipated.
My, but... You have your reasons, I wager. So, will you be taking the room?
Well, I don't seem to have much choice, Mrs. Purdy. However, I will not guarantee how long I will be staying.
I'm quick to learn a lesson, Mr. Harrison. Your departure remains entirely at your discretion.
You are most agreeable.
Indeed. Never let it be said that I overstep me bounds.
Well, let's...
I must remember to stay some distance from Mrs. Purdy.
Mrs. Purdy sounds dreadful, Grandfather.
Well, the good news is the story is not really about her.
And it's not been especially romantic either.
Give it time, dear. Romance comes before he rents the room. And it involves Mr. Harrison's good friend, John Carrington. He is the real romantic. In the lot.
And what of the campfire tale?
It's coming too.
Well, all right then.
Let's go back even further in time, before Mr. Harrison came to London.
So you didn't actually start at the beginning?
No, dear. In storytelling, this is called a flashback.
Seems rather confusing to me, Grandfather.
Yes, well, back to the story.
Look, just there, Geoffrey.
Yes, John. It's May Forster, the most beautiful girl in the village. None more beautiful for 20 miles or more.
Indeed. And I shall marry her.
Yes, so you've said each year when I return to visit.
Ah, but this time she agrees.
Then you wouldn't mind if I asked her myself.
Oh, by all means. Put your doubts to rest, my friend.
Miss May Forster.
Good day, Mr. Harrison.
I suddenly realise the reason for my visit with you may strike you as bold and unreasoning.
You seem in earnest, Geoffrey. What question could be so troubling?
Well, I just heard the most unlikely news.
Indeed. Now I'm all the more curious about the trouble it so obviously causes you.
I just spoke to John, and he insists that you two are to be wed. Do my eyes deceive me, or are you blushing, Miss Forster?
That is possible, Mr. Harrison, for the love John and I have is most real.
I am curious. You have always rebuffed his advances in times past.
Perhaps I was seeking to be assured of his love, Geoffrey. But I assure you, my feelings for John are quite real and utterly irrevocable.
Well then, my dearest May, I wish you all the best.
So are your fears put to rest, my friend?
So it would seem.
Good day, my dear.
Oh, John, I can't believe we are to be married.
My dear, I believe I should come back from the dead if you wanted me.
Oh, John, you are an incurable romantic.
Anything for you, my dear.
All this romance is undeniably disgusting, Grandfather.
Actually, it's what I've been waiting for.
Eric, it only makes sense for romance to come before any darker tale.
Logical, yes, but it's like enduring a dental exam, Grandfather.
He just doesn't appreciate good storytelling, Grandfather.
Well, that's easy to say when the story is going in the direction you like, Diana.
Yes, and I want to hear more.
Well, all right then.
Hello, old man. Here's luck. I was expecting a dull journey.
Where are you off to then?
London. And you?
To Old Branbridge. I will be back in time for your wedding.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't go, John.
Do you think I should let anything happen to keep me and the day after tomorrow, our wedding day?
Please don't go.
My dear, I must. One final bit of business in London, and I will return.
I'll even pick him up from the station and bring him to the wedding.
See then. It's all arranged, my dear.
Even so, I wish...
We really must climb aboard, John.
I love you, May.
I love you too, John. Goodbye.
Alive or dead, I will marry you on Thursday.
Taking things seriously, are we?
I could do no less, Geoffrey. Here, Geoffrey, look at her ring.
Beautiful. I've never seen anything quite like it.
I had it made especially for her. One of a kind, that one.
Well, I will meet you at the station Thursday morning.
I should arrive at the first train at 8:15.
Then I shall be there at 8.
Now, let's enjoy this trip and speak of the best of times past.
Sounds like a perfectly welcome diversion, John.
So they got horribly mangled in a train accident?
Eric, that is just terrible. Sometimes I really do think something is wrong with him, Grandfather.
Well, in any event, there was no train crash, and both men made it to their destinations.
Well, that's encouraging.
Meanwhile, I'm still waiting for a ghost story.
Doesn't he seem obsessive to you, Grandfather?
Geoffrey Harrison enjoyed time with his friends in Branbridge, while John Carrington went on to London, where he rented a room for the night and finished up some business.
I don't see nothing in here worth much.
Light a candle or something, Rupert, and keep your voice down. Didn't I say keep your voice down? Yes, I remember saying, when we's inside the room, keep your voice down.
It is sure nice that old Mrs. Purdy let us in to check on the valuables, eh, Leo?
Suppose so. But of course she demands a fair share.
Shh! Are you two finished? I think me tenant is coming back soon.
Mrs. Purdy, you don't see me brought nothing of financial interest, so to speak.
It never does. But people's always bring something. Check his pockets and such. Now, bless me, I must grab a cup of tea. After all, prim and proper, as they say.
Yeah, prim and proper. That describes you perfectly, missus.
Just you finish what you came to do and be quick about it.
Let me see. Hey, look at this. Looks to be a ring of some sort.
Give me that. Ooh, gold and diamonds.
Ah, that's what you call financial interest, eh, Leo?
Blow out the candle, Rupert. Someone's coming.
Hide.
Well, I've got my last bit of business taken care of. Tomorrow, I will be a married man.
Oh, congratulations.
Shh.
Ooh.
What? Who's there?
Oh, look what you done. Knocked him right out, you did.
He'll come round soon enough.
He don't seem to be breathing.
It's all your fault, Rupert.
You're blaming me?
If you'd only been quiet.
Well, it's not every day someone gets married, Leo. And he seemed a nice young man. What's wrong with congratulating the little fella on getting married?
And now he's not getting married at all.
Let's get out of here. I'm starting to feel a chill, Leo.
The next morning, Geoffrey was at the train station at 8. As he had promised, John was not aboard.
Of course, we now know why.
He waited for the next train.
This is no longer romantic, Grandfather.
And when the third train arrived at 10 with no departing passengers, Geoffrey made his way back to the wedding, thinking John had come another way. The wedding was over when he arrived.
Of course it was. His friend had died.
You'll notice I said that it was over. Not called off.
What do you mean?
John had made it to the wedding, after all.
So who died in the apartment?
John.
This is the campfire part of the story, right?
Hello, John. I went to the train station, but I never saw you.
Driver, ready the carriage.
Geoffrey, there's something wrong with John. He arrived in clothes that were torn. It looks like he's been in a fight.
Come, my dear, your carriage awaits.
If I could just talk to you for a minute, John.
Driver, do not spare the horses. Fly away home.
I must go after them.
Whoa, whoa! May, are you well?
happened to him, May?
He just vanished, Geoffrey. 1 minute he was here, and the next he was gone.
Sir, no one got on or off, and I'll stop for no one.
I am convinced, good sir. I followed you all the way here. I saw nothing amiss. May, did John say anything to you?
Very little, Geoffrey. It was John with me, but yet it was something altogether different.
Please try to remember. Where is your ring?
He didn't have it.
The words, May. What did he say?
He said...
Didn't I promise? Alive or dead, I will marry you.
Dear me!
What is it, Geoffrey?
John once said to me...
I believe I should come back from the dead if you wanted me.
He came back, Geoffrey. He well and truly did. But now...
So that's the end, then? John returns to marry as a ghost?
Is that enough of a campfire story for you, Eric?
It is a good one, Grandfather.
And John came back for May. Odd bit of romance.
That's true. But what about the ring?
Yes, whatever happened to the ring?
It was left behind in the apartment.
Ah, you were paying attention. Very good. Now, do you remember how this story started?
Once upon a time?
Well, technically, yes. But let us make another visit.
Is this the only room available, Mrs. Purdy?
True enough, Mr. Harrison. And you'd be lucky to get it, such as it is.
Yes, and it's not much.
Be that as it may, you'll not likely find another so well suited to your need, and on such agreeable terms.
Not likely, you say?
No, your worship. Why, just recently one of me rooms was let to a nice couple what worked on the stage in one of our nearby theatres.
Oh, that does speak highly of your establishment, Mrs. Purdy.
See, I knew you'd come around, Mr. Harrison. Begging your pardon, sir, but what brings you to London?
A carriage. Further questions are neither welcome nor anticipated.
My, but you have your reasons, I'll wager. So, will you be taking the room?
Well, I don't seem to have much choice, Mrs. Purdy. However, I will not guarantee how long I will be staying.
I'm quick to learn a lesson, Mr. Harrison. Your departure remains entirely at your discretion.
You are most agreeable.
Indeed. Never let it be said that I overstep me bounds.
Well, bless me.
I must remember to stay some distance from Mrs. Purdy. Looks like a former tenant left some clothes behind. They look so much like John's clothing. Let me look here at the back of the wardrobe. What's this, then?
Here, look at her ring. I had it made especially for her. One of a kind, that one.
It's a fine evening, Mrs. McCool.
Yes, fine indeed.
Are you keeping your rooms filled?
What with all the travelling performers, it hasn't been an especially thorny issue. Rooms filled up, they are.
How pleasant for you. I finally rented out my third floor back today.
Bless me, that must have been a trick. What did he say when you told him that a life was taken in that room?
It's a room for rent, Mrs. McCool, not a retelling of history. There was no reason to tell him.
Tis right, yeah, ma'am. Tis by renting rooms we keep alive. You have the real sense for business, Mrs. Purdy. There be many people will reject the renting of a room if they be told a murder has taken place.
As you say, we have our living to be making.
Mrs. Purdy?
Bless me, there's the new tenant now. Completely at your service, Mr. Harrison.
Can you tell me the meaning of this?
Bless me! A gold ring.
Indeed.
I'm sure the tenant who last let the room will be grateful to have it back. If you give it to me, I'll make sure it falls into proper hands.
Of course you mean your own hands. I am right, aren't I, Mrs. Purdy?
Well, I... Bless me, no, sir! Something that valuable should be handled carefully.
Yes, it should. Perhaps you remember my good friend John Carrington.
Say not his name in my hearing. I can't bear it. I never meant for it to happen. It was not by my hands.
Well, I don't think this was much of a romantic story. Yes, May was married, but her husband vanished.
He did indeed. But not because he did not love her.
Well, that's true.
But this was just a campfire story that you made up. Right, Grandfather?
What is your last name, Eric?
Harrison.
As is mine. Did you not notice that the Jeffrey in our story also had the last name of Harrison?
Are you saying we're related to the Jeffrey Harrison in the story?
What if I were? I might also be telling you that this house was the boarding house he stayed in.
No, that cannot be true.
And there is a reason no one goes into the third floor back room. There is the memory of his friend, John, to consider.
I shall not sleep a wink tonight, Grandfather.
Or perhaps it is all just a made-up story.
That must be it, Grandfather. A made-up story. A bit of fancy is all.
Well, good night, my young urchins. Until tomorrow, then.
Good night, Grandfather.
Eric? Are you all right?
Yes. Good night, Grandfather.
The story you've been listening to was the blending of characters and stories from the public domain. These stories are O. Henry's The Furnished Room and E. Nesbitt's John Carrington's Wedding. Our writer, producer and mixer, Glenn Haskell, worked the puzzle pieces together and added the additional storytelling element of the grandfather and grandchildren. In the end, the story is a creative reflection of gifted writing from the past that is largely missing from today's society. Let's introduce you to our cast. Michael Hudson, narrator. Thomas Hudson, Eric. Russell Gold, Stanley. Cameron Byerly, Grandpa. James Hudson, Diana. Peter Bishop, Jeffrey. Katie Dennart, Mrs. Purdy. Joel Nisbet, John. Tanya Malojevich, May. Glenn Haskell, Rupert. Peter Bishop, Leo. Jordan Scavone, coachman. Rachel Hurley, Mrs. McCool. At Any Cost was written, produced and mixed by Glenn Haskell using original concepts found in public domain works from O. Henry and E. Nesbitt. Executive producer, Captain John Tadazak. Music by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Art direction, Andrea Kuntz. Webmaster, April Sadowski. Misfits Audio is pleased to present quality audio drama for a variety of ages and interests. From restored old-time radio drama to science fiction and family shows. Visit us anytime at misfitsaudio.com for quality storytelling. This production is for enjoyment purposes only. I'm your narrator, Michael Hudson. This is an original production by Misfits Audio, copyright 2013, all rights reserved.
Hello? Is anyone there? Hello?
I promised. Alive or dead.
John? John Carrington?
I kept my promise at any cost. Did I do it properly, Gregor?
Thank you, Stanley.